I'm guilty as much as the next person of telling you everything that's wrong, but not telling you everything that's right. Boy, I sure am thankful for the Lord. Amen. And His blessings to us. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter 16. And we'll get in the scripture just for a little bit. And try to be a blessing and get you out of here at a decent hour. Hey, I make no promises. Praise the Lord. How many are you glad you had church? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 16. We're going to read the whole chapter because it's good. How many of you know that all the Bible's good? We're just going to take a chapter this morning. There's only about 16 verses in it, so it won't be very long. But we'll read starting in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 16. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar." Now, in Scripture, if you go back, in Genesis chapter number 12, at the end there, Abraham is made it to Canaan and there's a famine in the land. And so he journeys southward and he goes into Egypt. And you'll know the story because Abraham told Sarai to tell everybody she was his sister, which was a half truth because she was a half sister. But they went in and Pharaoh took her to actually wife, and God stopped him and prevented it. Pharaoh kicks Abraham and Sarai and all of his family, all of his belonging, kicks them out of Egypt. And according to the Bible, he gives them some things, handmaiden, servants, animals, all kind of things. Is everybody with me? So in verse number 1 of chapter number 16, we see one of the gifts that Pharaoh hands down to Abraham. This particular gift was named Hagar. Everybody stay with me right here. Pharaoh is a type of Satan in the Bible. I need somebody. Is everybody all right? And he gives gifts too. And this gift that Pharaoh or Satan gave is going to cause a lot of trouble. We move on to verse number 2. "And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." I need some fellas to listen to me right now. This is one of them instances where you don't listen to your wife. I need somebody to help me. I don't know what Sarai was thinking. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would give him seed. That seed would be a promised son by the name of Isaac. It had been 10 years since that promise had been made to Abram. And now Sarai is starting to say, you know what? We're going to have to do this on our own. I need everybody to look at me and listen to me right here. God doesn't need your help. Everybody say it with me. God doesn't need my help. Say it with me. God doesn't need my help. This got Abraham and Sarai in a lot of trouble. Sarai said, look, we ain't going to be able to do this. We're going to have to use Hagar. So I'm giving Hagar to you, and I want you to go in, and I want you to have a child with her, and that child will be mine. That ain't what God promised. Verse number 3, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife." Now, this does not mean that Abraham married Hagar. This does not mean, is everybody with me? Everybody look here, I'm going to give you just a little quick lesson and we're going to go on. But God defined marriage in the book of Genesis early. And he said that two become... You can't put somebody else in there. I need somebody to hear me. Nobody else fits in that equation. Two become one flesh. All right? That's how God designed marriage. Two people become one flesh. Is everybody all right? So this wasn't Abraham marrying her. This was Abraham doing unto her as he would a wife. The Bible tells us, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So, as soon as Hagar goes in with Abraham, she ends up pregnant. 10 years, Abram and Sarai has been trying to have a child. One night with Hagar, and she is pregnant. And the Bible says that she got a little haughty spirit because of it. The Bible says that when she, this is Hagar, saw that she, when she conceived, when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, Sarai, was despised in her eyes. In other words, pride crept in. In other words, I'm better than you come creeping in. See, this was a handmaid. This was a little slave girl. And now, because of her pregnancy, she feels she has more status than the one she's under, which is Sarai. Stay with me. Is everybody all right? Verse number 5. The Bible says, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Look at me, fellas. This is why you don't listen to your wife. Sarai said, this is what we're going to do. Go and do this. And then as soon as it happens, and it works out just like she wanted it to, she said, this is your fault. I need a husband that's heard that before. I say amen. Have a backbone. Amen. Bless God. You heard it before. It's your fault. But you told me to do it. But you shouldn't have listened to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You want me to listen to you. And now you're saying, don't listen. What is it? Sarai. This started a long time ago. Thousands of years ago, Sarai started this mess. She said, my wrong be upon thee. It's your fault. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. Well, ain't that a wonderful husband and wife conversation? God judged between you and me. Shell, don't ever say that to me. Bible says in verse number 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now, we look at that passage of Scripture and it don't look that bad. That verse right there tells us a lot. It says that Sarai literally beat this girl, pregnant and all. When it says she dealt hardly with her, it wasn't that she was mean to her, that she said some bad words and hurt her feelings. This literally means that she punished her. So much so that Hagar left. She fled from her face. We got to get through the Scripture, verse number 7. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. We're talking about Hagar here. By the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? Boy, that's a good question for all of us. Anytime we're running, where are you running from? And where are you going? I need somebody to help me. You know, if we'd answer them questions, we might be in a better place. Where are you coming from? Well, Sarah was mean to me. Well, where are you going? I don't know. Might keep us from a lot of trouble. Somebody help me. The Bible says, and she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, El Roi. Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. All right. Praise the Lord. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. This morning, just for a few moments, I want to talk about Hagar. Just for a moment, if you'll let me. I want us to put ourselves in the shoes are the sandals of this young Egyptian girl. As we look at this passage of scripture, you noted that I pointed out that she was a gift from Pharaoh, and how in typology, how Satan gives us gifts that cause us problems. But can I say this? Hagar wasn't the problem. Hagar wasn't the problem. Though she was used to create the problem, Hagar wasn't the problem. See, if we really got honest with this, this little Egyptian girl, I'm sure when she was dreaming of her wedding, was not thinking, I'm going to marry an 86-year-old man. She was not thinking that as she dreamed about what her life would be like, she wasn't thinking, I sure hope that I end up in a good family as a slave. When this girl was dreaming as a little girl about what her life might become, I'm sure she didn't envision any of this. And yet here she is, caught up in the middle of one of the ugliest scenes in the Bible. When we look at this passage of scripture, I hope, as I do, you feel sorry for Hagar. Because she had no say in any of this. She couldn't say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm a saving myself for my husband. She didn't get that opportunity. She couldn't say, no, I'm not going to have a child just to turn around and give you that child. It wasn't in her. She didn't have the choice. She was a slave. She was told what to do. And basically, Sarah and Abram, who is predominantly some of the greatest people in our Bible, people that got, by the way, Abram was the first Jew. He was the first Hebrew. I need everybody to help me. God chose a nation from Abraham. His seed. Is everybody with me? This was God's people treating her like this. I need somebody to help me. This is God's people treating her as bad as you could be treated. Every one of us has that story somewhere. Every one of us has that story somewhere. There's some Christian in your life that you looked up to, you respected, and yet they let you down. They treated you in a manner that you didn't think you deserved. I need somebody to help me. We all say it. You get around here separated from everybody else, and you'll tell me your story about somebody, some church that treated you indifferently. They didn't speak to you. They didn't accept you. They didn't bring you in. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. We've all got that story. Y'all got to help me this morning, or I'm going to preach for 4 hours. I'm just asking you to be honest with me. I'm not asking you to jump up and around, run around, or nothing like that. I'm just asking you to be honest with you. Every single one of us has that story. Whether it's in the church house or whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in your family. Some of you got family members that they think they're preachers, and what they really are demons. Can I get a witness right there? Some of it, we've all been around it. We've all been hurt at church. I like to throw my hands up and say, I have been hurt at church. I'm going to throw my hands up. Everybody look right here. I've been hurt at this church more times than you've been hurt at this church. Look up here. Don't go looking down and not acting like you one person that upset you and had you all tore up. That was the worst thing that ever happened at this church. I've had multiple people in this church hurt me. Some of them still sitting in this building today. So, we've all had it. We all can identify with Hagar. It didn't turn out the way we expected it to. They didn't treat us like we thought we should be treated. And for some people that ain't sitting here, they chose the same path that Hagar did, which was to strike out and leave. They may be somebody that's sitting here this morning, and you come here from another church because somebody hurt you. I'm not promising you that that same thing won't happen here. Because at the end of the day, we just a bunch of messed up people. I need somebody to help me. We just messed up. I have bad days. I woke up today and felt like my eyes were crossed. I had such a bad headache. I've had goodies. I've had caffeine. I've had everything that I know to make it better. But this morning, I probably would have knocked your teeth out if you'd have... Is everybody all right? I was hurting. We all have bad days. We all struggle. We don't all get up on... I need somebody to help me. We don't all get up and be excited about going to work. We don't all get up and get excited about going to church at 9 a.m. for breakfast. We don't all get excited about, I got to go make breakfast for the church, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. The fact is that every one of us can identify with this little girl, but I want to show you just for a moment in Scripture what God did for this little girl. And I want to tell you this morning that God will do the same thing for you. I want you to notice with me, if you will, in verse number 7, we're introduced to somebody. I call this the contact established. The Bible tells us in verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord. Now, for most people, that doesn't mean a whole lot. We've talked about angels this morning as we were dealing with our Sunday school class and how that Jesus Christ is greater and better than the angels. According to Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 4, he being much better than the angels. But what you don't understand is that this is a specific angel. This just ain't any angel. Matter of fact, this is not a created angel. When you see this terminology in the Old Testament, this is Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord. This is the first mention of this individual in Scripture. But this individual in Scripture met with Moses. He met with Joshua. He met with Balaam. He met with all I'm telling you, with Abraham, with all of them, but the very first mention of him is to a little Egyptian girl who had absolutely no right to him. I need somebody to help me. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't from the lineage of Abraham. She was a slave. She was a Gentile. And the very first mention that you and I have in Scripture of the angel of the Lord, I want you to look at what he did. He found her. I need somebody. Y'all better help me this morning. He came to where she was at. He came looking for her. Of all the people he could have visited on earth, the one person that he came to was a little Egyptian slave who had been done wrong by God's people. Jesus showed up to her. The angel of the Lord. This is what we call in Scripture a theophany. If you get into Bible college, not only is it called a theophany, but it is called a Christophany, which means that this is a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus Christ, which simply means that this is a visit from Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem. This angel of the Lord came to where she was at. I need somebody, y'all help me right here. We've all been hurt. And if we get our eyes on the people that hurt us, we will run away. But if we'll get our eyes on the one that saved us, I need somebody to help me right here. Jesus came to where she was at. When she was at her lowest point, beaten, pregnant, running, had nothing, nowhere to stay, nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. God came looking for her. Listen to me this morning. I don't care how bad it was. God is looking for you this morning. I don't care how rough it got. I don't care how bad somebody treated you. God is after you this morning. God loves you. Man, y'all. You're not understanding this. She had absolutely no right. Say, why didn't God just let her go? It was a mistake. He should have just let her go and let her die out there in the wilderness or let her go and live somewhere in obscurity. But no, God was interested in her. This little girl had been done wrong by his own people. Now, I need somebody to help me this morning. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tie it all together, but I know this. I know that those that have been hurt the most in church, God shows up to the most outside the church. This little girl, there was a contact that was established. God came to where she was at. We see his person. We see her person. She was nobody. She was a slave girl, according to Scripture. Wasn't even a part of the family. And yet God was interested in her. God's interested in you this morning. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how bad they treated you. I don't care how bad somebody in this church hurt you. I don't care how bad somebody in another church hurt you. God is interested in you. And he's come this morning. You're not here by accident. He's come this morning to let you know that he loves you. Well, I know he loves Abraham and Sarah. God come to let her know that he was interested in her. There was a contact that was established. Number two, there was a covenant that was enacted. There was a covenant that was enacted. It was a conditional covenant. If you'll read in the Bible tells us this. It says in verse number, verse number 9. And the angel of the Lord, once again, God speaking to her, said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And then the Bible says in verse number 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Everybody, stay with me. God enacted a covenant with her. The covenant was with Abraham, an unconditional covenant. The covenant with her was a conditional covenant in that she was to return to her mistress. But a covenant was made with this little girl. Matter of fact, he said he was going to multiply her seed. The covenant to Abraham was, I'll multiply thy seed, Abraham's seed. But the covenant to her was, he was going to multiply her seed. And he did it so that it shall not be numbered for multitude. This girl had no right to God. She was a Gentile. And yet God gave a covenant to her. As we move forward, it was strange that God would make a covenant with her because she was not a Jew. It was conditional because she had to do something in order to receive that covenant. We see the contact established. God came to her. We see the covenant enacted. God made this covenant in the middle of her mess. God promised, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You know, you and I have that covenant as well. He'll work all things together for our good. That doesn't mean that all things are going to be good. It just means that all, I need somebody to help me. There's somebody in here, man, I could give testimony for people that are in here of how messed up your life was before Christ, only to have him take all of the bad things that happened to you and use it as a story for him, for his glory, because he works all things together. The contact established, the covenant enacted. Number three, the companion endowed. I like this. The Bible says in verse number 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? In her life, all she had known is multiple gods. That's what the Egyptians worshiped. The God of the sun, the God of the Nile, the God. You go back to Exodus chapter, go back in the first part of Exodus and you'll find out all the gods that the Egyptians worship. But now she meets the true God. She even identifies him as the God that sees her. From here on out in this passage of scripture, from the best that we can tell, this girl now has a relationship with God. He's no longer the God of Abraham and the God of Sarai, but he is the God that sees her. He's the God that sees her. In the middle of everybody doing her wrong and everything in her life going in a downward spiral, God shows up, God gives a covenant, and God comes into relationship with her. That's the story of my life, Brother Johnny. I don't think anybody's getting it. But that's the story of mine and your life. Everything in my life was in a mess, in a downward spiral. I was running from everything that could possibly help me. Had no idea where I was going. I was just a running. And I run smack dab into him. Why? Because he was looking for me. And he made a covenant with me. I gave my life to him. And he made a covenant with me to keep me forever throughout eternity. And I came into a relationship with him. He was no longer the God of my mama. He was no longer the God of the preacher over there. He was no longer the God of that church over there. He was my God. He was my shepherd. This is me. Hagar is me. Somebody that had no right to God whatsoever. He was me. He came to where I was at. And he loved me when everybody else rejected me. and gave a covenant that I didn't deserve and said, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be your God. Is everybody all right? Because it's getting us, we're getting ready for the last one. Y'all ready? The change experienced. I told y'all this little girl was prideful. As soon as she got pregnant, Bible says she despised her mistress. Bible says as soon as she got pregnant, she despised her mistress when she had seen that she had conceived. She got that little haughty spirit that all of us have. I need you. Y'all better help me. Somebody do me wrong, we're going to puff up. I need somebody to help me. Boy, don't act like y'all ain't never talked to somebody in the shower that wasn't there. Get all tough. I need somebody to help me. Get all tough. You a UFC fighter when nobody else is around. You going to bust somebody up. Who think they're going to treat me like that? I'll knock them. I ain't going to put up with somebody treating me like that. Yeah, you will. She had that old haughty spirit, a change experience. Listen to me. Bible says that God told her, I can't miss this, stay with me. God reminded her of who she was. He said this, go back to verse number 8, I think it is. It might be 7. Oh, no, it's right there, verse 8. And he said, Hagar, y'all read it with me. Sarah's maid. Y'all, did y'all catch that? At this time, she was running from Sarai because Sarai had treated her bad. The first thing God did was remind her of who she was. And then in verse number 9, I think verse number 9, we might be 10, but verse number 9, say, here it is. Return to thy mistress and... There was a change because the Bible says that's exactly what she did. So much so the Bible lets us know she went back and told Abraham everything God had told her, and Abraham named her boy. Who told Abraham to name that boy Ishmael? Hagar. Who told Hagar? Now I need somebody, y'all stay with me. Some of you been hurt, man. You want, man, I, bless God, I ain't going to get that close to them church people no more. I get this and that and the other. But the first thing that God does is say, you need to go back. Stay with me. I know, I'm not trying to downplay that you got hurt in church. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you need church. But it hurt Sarai too. But God said, return. Is everybody with me? Sarai would never made it on her own. Sarai never made it on her own, Jesse. She wouldn't have made it. That youngin' wouldn't have made it on her own out there in the desert. But back at Sarai and Abraham's, she'd have made it. She did make it. Listen, we've all been hurt. And it was in our hurt God came to where we was at. Made covenant with us. Formed a relationship with us. So that he could change us. We don't hear nothing else about Hagar until we get to Hebrews. But what we do know about Hagar is this. Is that God cared about that girl. And he wanted to see her thrive. Is everybody with me? I want you to think about this. We talk about the Jews and the Arab, and this is where it comes from, this division between these two boys, Ishmael and Isaac. But yet God could have taken them out from the very beginning, but yet he showed grace to Hagar and Ishmael. We like to determine who God should punish, but God showed grace on both sides of this. And he changed the heart of Hagar. So I come to you this morning saying God can do the same to you. So you're going to have to be obedient like Hagar was. I'm not after your tithe. I don't care if you give any money to the church. That's between you and the Lord. What I do want to see is you grow spiritually. And you're not going to do that outside of the church. No matter what Facebook and social media and all them little memes tell you. I read one the other day that said, I talk to God more in a tree stand than I do at the church house. That might be so. But God doesn't speak to you more in the tree stand than what he does in the church house. So you can take that little meme and throw it out the window. I'm tired of us downplaying the importance of church. The majority of the New Testament was written to local churches. Or pastors of local churches. So stay with me. Bible says Christ died for the church. And no, it's not a building. It's a body of believers. And we all need one another. There's a contact that was established. There was a covenant that was enacted. There was a companion. Y'all help me. What did I say? Huh? Endowed. Given. Boy, ain't that the Holy Spirit. And then there was a change experienced. Why don't you lay it on the altar? You don't know how Abraham and old Abram and Sarai down there at the First Baptist Church treated me. You don't know how so-and-so and so-and-so at the church treated me. No. But I know God, because when I was in that same mess, he came to where I was at and formed a relationship with me. He's protected me in covenant, guided me through it, and he'll do the same for you. Dalton's going to the piano right now. Heads are bowed with me. Once you find a place around the altar, it's amazing how we put so much emphasis on being treated right by people that are so hurt. You ever been around a dog? I've been around a bunch of them. I have 5 dogs. They're all hunting dogs. I love them to death. That dog can get hurt. And I can go in there and I can try to fix it. Try to help that dog. I grab that dog. That dog's foot hurt. I grab that dog the wrong way. And listen, pure reaction. He'll swing on me to bite me. Because it hurt. It hurt. Most every one of us sitting in this church been hurt. And sometimes people hit us right in the tender spot. Before we know it, we bite somebody. We show teeth to somebody. Growl at somebody. Hurt somebody's feelings. And we formulate an opinion about all church people because of a bad experience we had with one person that was hurt. God speaking to you this morning. I pray that He is. Pray you understand that God loves you. He's interested in you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants your life to change. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for loving us. Lord, I don't even know how to end the service. I just know this is what you laid on my heart this morning. So many people are so hurt and bitter about church or church people. The fact is, we can go all the way back to the first book of the Bible and very close to the first part of the history of man on earth. See that sometimes, Lord, your people hurt others. God, I pray that not be the reason, Lord, that we run from you. Lord, I pray this morning, every person in this room, I know that, God, you're looking for them. You come searching for them. God, to minister to them, to love on them. Form covenant with them. Have a relationship with them. And ultimately change them. God, help us. You're sitting in this building this morning and say, preacher, I do not know that if I was to die today where I'd spend eternity. Why don't you do me a favor and just raise your hand. Preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I died. Is there anybody in the building that's not like that this morning? Before we close out. Lord, thank you once again. Lord, I pray that you go with us as we go our separate ways. Comfort somebody this morning. Strengthen others this morning. God, I pray that you'd use me, use this church, be a place that would help others to grow and to become what you'd have them to be.